Please turn in the Old Testament to the book of Psalms, the 37th Psalm. Psalm number 37. We are going to read verses 1 to 29. This psalm is a call to meekness of spirit. Psalm 37, verse 1. Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he knows their day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend the bow to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose ways are upright. But their swords will pierce their own hearts, and their bows will be broken. Better the little that the righteous have than the wealth of many wicked. For the power of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The days of the blameless are known to the Lord, and their inheritance will endure forever. In times of disaster, they will not wither. In days of famine, they will enjoy plenty. But the wicked will perish. The Lord's enemies will be like the beauty of the fields. They will vanish like smoke. The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. Those the Lord blesses will inherit the land, but those he curses will be cut off. If the Lord delights in a man's way, he makes his steps firm. Though he stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I was young, and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken, or their children begging bread. They are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be blessed. Turn from evil and do good, then you will dwell in the land forever. For the Lord loves the just and will not forsake his faithful ones. They will be protected forever, but the offspring of the wicked will be cut off. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. Amen. We pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will bless the reading and the preaching of his word to all of us. We come this morning in our exposition of the Sermon on the Mount as it's recorded in Matthew chapters 5 to 7 to the third of the Beatitudes, or the promises of blessedness. Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. To try to capture the context in which these words were first spoken, we could perhaps think of a nationalist rally in Crossmaglen or in Milltown Cemetery. You can imagine how well these words would go down. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Our Lord is speaking to a crowd containing many fiercely nationalistic Jews who are itching to drive the Roman usurpers from the land which they have stolen. Jews looking for a deliverer who would lead them in a holy war against the invading enemy. And this statement of our Lord would have been a very surprising, startling, and unwelcome one, even though he was quoting from their own book of Psalms. The meek shall inherit the earth. There were very few in Israel at that time who believed that the meek would inherit anything. So it's a radical, a revolutionary, a startling statement. And it is still a radical statement. It still shocks us. It calls you and me to something so extremely difficult and unnatural that only the power of God will enable us to be like this. And yet it calls us to something which we must experience if we are to know God's blessing. Every Christian is meek. I'd like to ask some questions of our text, and to begin by asking the obvious question, what is meekness? Blessed are the meek. What does our Lord mean when he talks about people who are meek? We need to be able to answer that. And we'd want to begin by saying that meekness is not, it is not weakness. That's a common misconception which people have. Meek people are regarded as weak, feeble people. As one commentator says, someone who could be knocked over by a hard slap from a wet noodle. Now that is someone who isn't very strong. And yet we are told in Numbers chapter 12 verse 3 that Moses was a very meek man, more meek than anyone else on the face of the earth. And yet Moses, as we know, was no weakling. He was a very gifted, strong, determined, powerful leader of his nation. Our Lord Jesus himself in Matthew 11:29 says, I am meek and humble in heart. And no one would suggest that Jesus Christ was a weakling. So meekness isn't weakness. As we'd see later, meek people are extremely strong. Or again, we'd want to say that meekness is not a guiding principle for civil life. Our Lord is not here dealing with the duty of government, with the place of law in public affairs. That is not the purpose of his teaching. Britain was not obliged to cave in to Hitler in 1939 because blessed are the meek. We're not obliged to let a mugger rob us because the meek are blessed. It doesn't mean being silent in the face of falsehood. It doesn't mean allowing the forces of evil free run in society. The same Bible which tells us that the meek are blessed tells us that the government is to be a terror to evildoers. It tells us that we are to contend for the faith, that we are entitled to protect those who keep the law against those who break the law. It's important, and we'll come back to this later in Matthew 5, it's important not to take the Sermon on the Mount out of its context. Our Lord is here dealing with the personal characteristics of every believer in our personal interactions and relationships, and how we behave towards our fellow man. In some of our earthly duties and positions, we may be required to judge. We may be required to be severe. We may be required to be harsh and to punish, perhaps in the home, perhaps in our employment, perhaps in the state. And none of these contradict in any way what our Lord is teaching here. So meekness isn't weakness. It's not a prescription for how a nation is to be run. What is it then? Let me suggest two components of meekness. It means, firstly, being submissive towards God. Being submissive towards God. Not arguing with God. Not rebelling against God. Not complaining against God. It means when God speaks, we listen and we believe and we obey. In James chapter 1 verse 21, we are told that we are to receive in meekness the word planted in us. Unbelievers don't receive God's word. They reject it. But sometimes even believers can be rebellious against God's word. I've heard people saying, I don't agree. I don't believe in the doctrine of predestination. And when you open your Bible, let's say to Ephesians 1, and show them the word occurring there again and again in the word of God, they still don't believe it. You see, that's an absence of meekness. Or some duty God lays upon us, and we don't want to keep that duty. God says, keep the Sabbath day holy. Now, some believers don't keep the Sabbath day holy. And they don't seem to care what God says. So meekness is submissiveness towards God. When God speaks, we listen. When God acts, we submit. Difficult, isn't it? Very difficult. Sometimes. Job is a perfect example. His life is visited with tragedy. He loses those who are precious to him. And how does he respond? The Lord gave. The Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. There's an example of meekness. God does something very, very painful and unwelcome in Job's life, but he doesn't complain. He accepts it. Meekness is listening when God speaks and submitting when God acts. My friends, I wonder how you and I measure up to this meekness. Do you listen to God's word, and do you believe God when he speaks, and do you obey God when he speaks? And when God acts in your life or in your circumstances, particularly in ways that you find unpleasant or difficult, do you argue against God? Do you complain against God? Do you become angry? Or do you accept God's dealings with you in meekness? Meekness means being submissive towards God. But secondly, and this is the predominant meaning of meekness, it means being gentle towards people. Being gentle towards people. The meek person doesn't push himself or herself forward. The meek person doesn't hog the limelight. The meek person doesn't do all the talking. The meek person doesn't want to dominate. The meek person is happy to be in the background. And especially when we are treated badly, here is where the acid test comes. The person who is meek, when they are treated badly and unjustly and unfairly and hurtfully, that the meek person doesn't retaliate. The meek person doesn't lose their temper. The meek person doesn't burn with resentment. The meek person doesn't sink into self-pity. Meekness is shown particularly when we are badly treated by other people. How do we respond? It's difficult. Perhaps the best way of illustrating it for a few moments, instead of giving you my ideas, is to give some scriptural examples of meekness. Sometimes our version translates it as gentle, but it's the same Greek word. It is meek. In Matthew 21:5, we have Jesus entering Jerusalem, and the Jewish people think he is their king, their deliverer, who's going to come and lead them in a holy war against the Romans. But the prophecy is this: see, your king comes to you, meek, and riding on a donkey. He's not going to fight. He's not going to lead an army. He's not going to conduct a holy war. He is meek. He's going to suffer, and he's going to die. What happens when we are hurt by a fellow believer? Paul tells us in Colossians 3:12, clothe yourselves with meekness and patience. Forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. That's in the church. Against one another. You have a grievance. Fellow Christian has treated you badly. They've injured you in some way. How are you going to respond? Paul says, clothe yourself with meekness and forgive them. Supposing you haven't been hurt by a fellow believer, but you have been irritated by a fellow believer. Some of our fellow believers are very irritating, and they can be very irritating. Mentioning no names, obviously. But here's what Paul says in Ephesians 4:2. Be completely humble and meek. Be patient, bearing with one another. Bearing with one another. Putting up with the oddities and eccentricities and inconsistencies of your fellow believer. With their sharp angles and awkward corners and the way they rub you up the wrong way and drive you up the wall. Paul says, be completely meek. Be patient. Bearing with each other. What happens when elders have to come and exercise discipline in the church. He says in Galatians 6:1, you who are spiritual should restore him with meekness. Not in an arrogant, unpleasant, tyrannical way, but gently, firmly, but meekly and humbly. What about a Christian woman who is married to an unbeliever? How is she to influence her husband for the Lord Jesus Christ? In 1 Peter 3 and 4, he says that part of her influence is to be through the unfading beauty of a meek and quiet spirit. Her witness is not to be by nagging her husband or browbeating him or scolding him or trying to dominate him or to show him where he's wrong, but by the unfading beauty of a meek and quiet spirit. Or again, when we're witnessing to people, how are we to witness? In 1 Peter 3:15, we are told that we're to give a reason for our hope with meekness and respect. So that gives us a sort of a general scriptural picture of meekness. It's being submissive towards God, listening to what God says and believing it, and accepting what God does with us and submitting to it. And then being gentle and gracious and patient and humble and forgiving towards other people, especially when they irritate us or treat us badly. Blessed are the meek. And you don't need much imagination to see how very difficult that is for us to do. And you may think it's not only difficult, it's dangerous. Surely if we behave like that, people will trample all over us and we will lose out on life. But that's not the case. Because we come secondly to ask, what happens to meek people? What happens to meek people? Jesus tells us, they will inherit the earth. They will inherit the earth. What an amazing statement. How many people really believe that? You've seen the sort of humorous paraphrase of this beatitude, I'm sure. The meek will inherit the earth, if that's all right with everybody else. How hard it is to believe. The meek will inherit the earth. Surely the grabby will inherit the earth, and the aggressive, and the strong, and the dominant, and the pushy, and the powerful. The meek will inherit the earth, the gentle, and the humble, and the quiet, the people who don't retaliate, and the people who don't lose their temper, and the people who are willing to stand at the back of the queue, the people who are willing to get the worst seat in the bus or the train, or to stand. Is that true? Can it be true? Is it true that this will happen to the meek, that they will inherit the earth? The Lord Jesus assures us that it is true and it will happen. At its very simplest and most obvious level, we can see that the meek are the happiest, the most contented, and the most serene of people. My friends, most of us have surely lived long enough to find out that pushing doesn't make us happy. Competing doesn't make us happy. Driving other people back with our elbows doesn't make us happy. Anger, resentment destroy our peace of mind and make us miserable. Self-pity is one of the most disabling and paralyzing of emotions. make people don't care about themselves. They forget about themselves. They don't expect too much from life or too much from other people. They are easily satisfied. And it's a great, great blessing in this life to be easily satisfied. Think of the pushiest people you know. Are they happy? Think of the happiest people you know. Are they pushy? Don't think so. So not even on that superficial level, the meek are satisfied. The meek are serene. The meek are happy. And then going a little bit deeper, Jesus is telling us that in the long run, it is the meek who are successful, not the arrogant. It is the meek who will inherit, not the pushy. The crowd in front of Pilate's palace chose Barabbas instead of Jesus. One was a terrorist fighter, and the other was a meek, quiet, suffering servant. One was strong, one seemed meek, but who proved more powerful in the long run? Who was truly victorious? To go back to some of our illustrations. Which wives influence their husbands towards the Christian faith? Is it not those who are gentle and quiet and loving, prayerful, patient? Which leaders build strong churches? Is it not leaders who love their people, who are approachable, who demonstrate the meekness of Christ? Which parents bring up godly children? In almost every case, you will find it is a home where there is love. Love. I'm not saying the parents are weak. They're not weak. They're not weak. But they're gentle. They're approachable. They're tender with their children. They hold their children. There is a meekness that wins the love and trust and affection of the children and leads them towards Christ. What employers command the loyalty of their subordinates? What officers in war command the loyalty of their men? In almost every case, it's the meek. It's the approachable. It's the people you can talk to. The people you can deal with who show their humanity. There are lots of fancy words for it now in terms of man management and relationship. But our Lord is telling us here that meekness in the long run is far more powerful and far more effective and far more successful in almost every sphere of our private lives than any spirit of competitive arrogance. How much more successful some churches would be if there was a great deal more meekness among both leaders and members. But of course these are only on the surface. Our Lord is quoting from Psalm 37 verse 11. The meek shall inherit the land or the earth. It's the same word. That's the promise. And the promise originally was of the land of Canaan. All the covenant blessings of God. The meek shall inherit God's covenant blessing. The meek shall inherit all that God has for his people. And for us now in the New Testament, it's not a literal land. It's not a nation. It's all that God has promised to his people in Christ. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the promised land. They shall inherit the promises. They shall inherit salvation. All its blessings in this life. Forgiveness, strength, holiness, peace with God. And then after that, the new heavens and the new earth to all eternity. Here is the heart of the promise. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the promised land. They shall inherit the covenant blessing. They shall inherit salvation. This is why it's not dangerous to be meek. This is why the meek are blessed. Because these are the people to whom God gives salvation. These are the people to whom God opens the doors of the kingdom. To whom God grants everlasting life. These are the people who will have in heaven an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away. Blessed are the meek, says Jesus. The meek. For they and they alone will inherit. And then thirdly and more briefly and finally, we've asked, who are the meek? What is meekness, I mean? What happens to meek people? And we close with the practical question, how can we become more meek? You and I. For it's vital that we do. Only those who are meek will inherit the earth. The first thing we'd have to say is that meekness comes through the work of the Holy Spirit. It is one of the ninefold fruit of the Spirit mentioned in Galatians 5:3. The NIV translates it as gentleness, but the word is meekness. The fruit of the Spirit is meekness. None of us are meek by nature. We're not born meek. We're not naturally meek. We defend ourselves. We are angry. We retaliate. We hit back. We lose our temper. We stand up for ourselves. We can never make ourselves meek. It's impossible, my friends. Only God can do it in us by his Spirit. But he does do it. He changes us. He gives us a new nature so that more and more our natural aggressiveness and defensiveness is taken away and it is replaced by what Paul calls the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. One of my favorite illustrations of this word is from its use in classical Greek, where it was the word which was used to describe a horse that has been tamed. And when a horse has been tamed, this is the word that is used of it. It is meek. That's a beautiful illustration. Because the horse still has all its strength and energy and force and power. But now all that strength is under the control of someone else. Someone has come to that wild horse and has brought all that energy under control. And previously the energy was no use to anybody. The horse leapt and jumped about all over the place, but now that energy can be controlled and used. And now the horse is valuable. Great power under control. And so when we become meek, we're like that tamed horse. Christ comes and puts his bridle upon us. And so you and I used to jump about all over the place, but now he holds us, and he guides us, and he keeps us. And whenever we want to jump out, he holds us by the reins and the bridle. He grips us, and he controls us. It is a strong man, a strong woman, under the control of Christ. And the fact that they don't retaliate is not because they're weak. It's not because they're afraid. It's not because they're some pathetic wimp that can be pushed around. No, it's they are strong enough not to retaliate. They're under the control of Christ. We become meek by God, the Holy Spirit, working in us. But of course he uses means. Let me mention two. It comes through our view of ourselves. Remember that this is the third of the Beatitudes, and it is governed and conditioned by the first two. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. We are people who recognize that we have nothing and are nothing and can do nothing. We are beggars. We have nothing to offer to God. We have no rights. We have no excuses. We have no claims. We are helpless, guilty, needy, wretched beggars before God. And we mourn because of that. And if we remember that, then it will be easy for us to be meek. Why do we get angry? Because we feel we're not getting what we deserve. But we've already admitted that we don't deserve anything. We don't deserve anything. We deserve to be sent to hell. That's what we deserve. And yet if somebody injures us, we say, that's not fair. I shouldn't be treated in this way. The Lord would say, thank God you're not being treated the way you deserve to be treated. John Stott puts it interestingly and humorously, quoting from the Anglican Order of Service. He says, I am quite happy to call myself a miserable sinner. But let somebody else come up to me after church and call me a miserable sinner, and I want to punch him on the nose. I'd like to see John Stott punching someone on the nose. He says, I am not prepared to allow other people to say of me what I have just acknowledged before God that I am. Quite profound, isn't it? I'm quite prepared to admit that I'm a miserable sinner, but I don't want you to call me a miserable sinner. And I don't want you to treat me as a miserable sinner. But you see the inconsistency. How do you become meek? Remember who you are. Remember what you are. Somebody tells lies about you. Somebody says something about you that's not true. That's very hurtful. But there are a whole lot of truths about you and me that nobody knows. And if they knew them and told them, they would be a lot worse and a lot more embarrassing than the lies that have been told. Remember that. When someone says something about you that isn't true, remember the things that they could have said about you that are perfectly true, if they knew it. When someone treats us unjustly, we need to remember that we have received God's mercy and kindness for hundreds and thousands of sins and have been forgiven over and over and over again. Yet we get angry and we get sorry for ourselves and we stop behaving like beggars. We read in the paper this week of a Romanian refugee who is complaining because she doesn't have a colour television set in the new house which has been provided for her by the British government. Now, did any of you feel that slightly irritating? I did. Here she's come to this country, she's been given hundreds of pounds a week, her husband's been given a job, they've been given a house, they've been given everything, and she's now complaining because she doesn't have a television set. But we're like that Romanian refugee. God blesses us and gives us things and forgives us and then something goes wrong. And suddenly we're up in arms and we're complaining and we're angry and we're upset and we say, this isn't fair. Remember who you are. Those who are poor in spirit and who mourn. Bunyan says, he that is down need fear no fall. And then not only is our view of ourself able to make us meek, but lastly, our trust in God. That's the whole focus of Psalm 37. What do you do when evil triumphs over good? What do you do when wicked people are in charge? Psalm says, do not fret because of evil men. Refrain from anger. Do not fret. Why? God's in control. He'll deal with the evil people. And he'll look after you. Believe that. Don't get yourself into a state. It's a psalm we should read over and over again in Northern Ireland. Don't fret, he says. Don't get angry. It only leads to evil. Evildoers shall be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. That's why it's not dangerous to be meek. We hope in the Lord. We trust God. God has a purpose in all that happens. God has a purpose in our disappointments. God has a purpose in our needs. God has a purpose in the injuries we suffer. He has a purpose in these things. He has a reason for this. You've got to trust him. You've got to trust him. And he sees what's happening. And he will protect us. And he will reward us. And he will bring it right in the end. Here is the summit of faith. Taking ourselves and giving ourselves over to the Lord. Saying, Lord, I'm in your hands. I'm not going to fight. I'm not going to retaliate. I'm not going to be sorry for myself. I'm not going to protect myself. I'm not going to worry. I'm going to let you look after me. Our Lord Jesus Christ was meek. He gave up his rights. And we are called to do the same. Learn of me, for I am meek. It does seem difficult. I said that at the beginning. But when you think about it, friends, it's not so difficult. Looking after ourselves is difficult. Looking after ourselves is difficult. Protecting ourselves, providing for ourselves, that is stressful. That is disappointing and disillusioning. Letting God do it is far easier and far more effective. What sort of week is it going to be for you or me? I don't know. None of us knows. Are we going to be treated well this week? Are people going to give us a hard time? Relax, says Christ. Blessed are the meek. Don't think too highly of yourself. Think very, very highly indeed of your God and Savior. Trust God to look after us. Leave it with him. And we have a sure promise. The meek will inherit the earth. Amen. Let us bow in prayer. For some of us, O Lord, this seems like a real venture of faith. And as we look out into the world and how easy for it is for people to be hurt and ill-used, we tremble. But Father, you have shown us the way of Christ. And we pray that you will so increase our faith that we will have the courage to follow Christ. Forgive us, we pray, for times this past week when we have not been meek. Develop this grace within us, O God. Help us to learn of him who was meek and lowly in heart, and who now is in glory at your right hand, who humbled himself, and therefore you exalted him. Help us, O God, to humble ourselves, that you may exalt us in due time. We pray, O God, that when occasions occur in the coming days which test us, that we'll be able to give thanks, that we have a chance to show to the world and to the hosts of heaven the meekness of Christ. In his name we ask it. Amen.